اوكي ثانك يو. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على إمام الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، believing brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back to this another of our sittings. Today's topic is Who Are You? This topic was chosen because I do not want my Muslim brothers and sisters to suffer an identity crisis. Because I do not want my brothers and sisters to have an identity crisis, the topic, Who Are You, was chosen. This topic was chosen also because there is a man on Paltalk in the room, and he claimed Ahlul Kitab means Muslims. The people of the book means Muslims. Even though there is ijma among the scholars that the people of the book means the Jews and the Christians. And this person opened the room, he promotes gay sex in his room, and he believes Ahlul Kitab, he preaches Ahlul Kitab means the Muslims, even though the scholars agree Ahlul Kitab means the Jews and the Christians. In Surah 22, verse 78, this person is called Yusuf Deen. He himself is gay, and he opens a room in Paltalk, and he promotes gay sex in his room. And he preaches on Paltalk, Ahlul Kitab means the Muslims. Even though the ulama agree unanimously among themselves that Ahlul Kitab means the Jews and the Christians. In Surah 22, verse 78, Allah said, "Huwa sammakum al-muslimin min qabl, wa fi hadha liyakun ar-rasul shahidan alaykum wa takunu shuhada al-nas." Allah has named you Muslims from before, min qabl, and even till today, Allah continues to name you Muslims. In this Quran, Allah also names you Muslim. For the Rasul to be a witness over you, and you will be a witness over mankind. Surah 22, verse 78. So what is the first characteristic of this Ummah? The very first characteristic of this Ummah is, you are witnesses of Allah on earth. Number one, you are Allah's witnesses on earth. So, characteristics, the special characteristics of this Ummah, the first characteristic is that you are the witnesses of Allah Ta'ala on earth. One day, the body of a dead man was passing by, and the people spoke good about him, and the Prophet said, "Wajabat, wajabat, so shall it be, so shall it be." And then the body of another man was passing by, a dead man, and the people spoke badly about him, and the Prophet said, "So shall it be, so shall it be, wajabat, wajabat." Then the Prophet said, "You are the witnesses of Allah on earth." So they spoke good of the first man, and they spoke ill of the second man. And the Prophet did not say, "Keep quiet, because you aren't here to judge." He said, "Wajabat, wajabat, so shall it be, so shall it be. You are the witnesses of Allah on earth." So this is the very first characteristic of this Ummah. There is even a hadith that says when a person dies, a Muslim, If three people speak good of him, he'll go to paradise. When a Muslim dies, if we can find three people who speak well of this Muslim who died, he will go to paradise. There is another hadith that says, whatsoever the Muslims see as good, Allah Himself sees it as good. And whatsoever the Muslims see as evil, Allah also sees it as evil. Why? Because you are the witnesses of Allah Ta'ala on earth. The second characteristic of this ummah, because our topic is who are you? So I am here today to tell you who are you. Your name is Muslim. Allah name you Muslim. If Allah name you Muslim, why we some say Sunni, some say Shia, and some say Sufi? The ummah was split into many sects. 73 sects. So because the ummah was split up into many sects, and Allah told you that you should stay away from the people with these labels, these sects. The first characteristic is that you are Allah's witnesses on earth. I haven't said what is number two yet. Allah Ta'ala told you in the Quran that people are going to split themselves up into groups and splinter groups. Surah 23, verse 53. Surah 23, verse 53. Allah warned you, the people will split themselves up into groups and splinter groups. فَتَقَطَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ زُبَرًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. And every group will be happy with their aqidah. Even if it's a dodgy aqidah, still they'll be happy with their aqidah. Every single group will be happy with their aqidah. I was told my voice is too loud in the dars. I've turned on the mic. But they men have broken their religion up into different groups. And every group is happy with their aqidah. Did you know Allah used the word Shia in the Quran? Did you know Allah used the word Shia in the Quran? Did you know Allah used the word girlfriend in the Quran? You don't know that, do you? And if I ask you where, you can't even tell me. Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. Surah 6, 159, Allah used the word Shia in the Quran. And Allah said, stay away from every single Shia. And Shia in this ayah means a sect, a stray sect. Allah says, stay away from these Shia. You have no concern in them in the least. Their affairs is only with Allah, who will then tell them what they used to do. Yunabbi'uhum. Allah said what? Yunabbi'uhum. Allah Ta'ala will inform them. Bima kanu yaf'alun, in regards to what they used to do. The second characteristic of this ummah is, you are the best ummah that was raised up for the guidance of mankind. You are the best ummah. You are better than the ummah of Jesus, and you are better than the ummah of Moses. You are better than the ummah of Abraham. You are the best ummah raised up for the guidance of mankind. No ummah is better than the ummah of Muhammad. And Allah said, Surah 3:110, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best ummah that was raised up for the guidance of mankind. Then Allah gave you three reasons why you are the best ummah. Three reasons. You enjoin the right, you forbid the wrong, and you believe in Allah. You believe in Allah properly. The ummah of Jesus and the ummah of Moses, they accuse Allah of begetting a son. They accuse Allah of repenting. They accuse Allah of resting on the seventh day. They accuse Allah of being poor and they are rich. You don't accuse Allah of these bad things. You are the best ummah. You have things which they don't have. What you have which they don't have? Isnad. Isnad. Only this ummah has isnad. A chain of transmitters leading back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Concerning enjoining the right and forbid the wrong. The Prophet gave us a story. And you can say a similitude. What the Prophet said. Some people were in a boat and the boat had two decks, the upper deck and the lower deck. The people in the lower deck, they say, if we want water, we don't have to worry about that. All we need to do is to bore a hole in the lower deck and the water will come up. And then we'll get water. Easy access. Easy access to water. We are in the lower deck. If we want water, just bore a hole in the boat and the water will come up. Easy access. The Prophet said, if the people in the upper deck don't stop them, the boat will sink and everybody will drown. This is how dangerous it is when you don't enjoin the right and forbid the wrong. I find the hadith. Yes. The metaphor of people who comply with Allah's order and prohibitions in comparison to those who violate them is like the metaphor of some people who drew lots for their seats in a boat. Some of them were on the upper deck, others were on the lower deck. When those on the lower deck needed water, they would have had to go up to fetch the water. So they said, let us make a hole in our part of the ship and save those who are above us from troubling them. We can't be bothered to go up for water. We just bore a hole. If the people on the upper deck let the others do that, what they suggested, all the people in the boat would be destroyed. But if they prevented them, both groups would be safe. This shows you the importance of enjoining the right and forbidding the wrong. Allah Ta'ala said in Surah 8, verse 25, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ أَلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّ وَأَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ And fear the fitna. Surah 8, verse 25. And fear the fitna, the affliction, the tribulation, the trial, which affects not in particular only those of you who do wrong, but it may afflict all of you, the good people and the bad people, and know that Allah Ta'ala is severe in His punishment. So this ayah is talking about Allah's wrath, Allah's punishment, whether it is the hurricane, the tornado, the tsunami, the earthquake. When it comes, it's not going to affect only the bad people. It's going to affect the good and the bad. Why? Because those who were good, they did not stop the bad from perpetrating their sins. And what I'm bringing you these Quranic verses and these hadiths to prove to you how important it is to enjoin the right and forbid the wrong. Because Allah said, you are the best ummah. because of three reasons. You enjoin the right, you forbid the wrong, and you believe in Allah properly. You don't accuse Allah of resting on the seventh day. I was in a room debating Christians, and somebody said, Sheikh Faisal, why you waste your time with these pagans, these Christians, these mushrikeen? On judgment day, they cannot say nobody told them to stop accusing Allah of bad things. They can't use ignorance as an excuse because they were debated and refuted with their own book, their own Bible. One day, Allah sent two angels to destroy a township, and when they got there, they found a pious man praying in the temple. They said, oh Allah, how can we destroy it? We found a pious man praying in the temple. Allah said, go back and punish him, punish the entire township, and punish that man as well, because he did not enjoin the right and forbid the wrong. The Prophet said, not once did he frown. Okay, the key word to find the hadith is frown. Not once did he ever frown when he saw the people dabbling in haram. You find it? Not once did this man frown when he saw his people dabbling in the haram. Our topic is, who are you? What are the special characteristics of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The third characteristic is, you are a balanced nation. That is the third characteristic. You are not extreme in anything. Surah Baqarah 143. Allah said, likewise, we have made you Muslims a balanced nation. وَكَذَلَكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِدًا. This is a very long ayah. I really want the peace. Likewise, we have made you Muslims a balanced nation for you to be a witness over mankind, while he, the messenger Muhammad, will be a witness over you. You can stop it with you. Surah Baqarah 143. So how are you a balanced nation? Because you are not an extremist. Where is the ayah? Baqarah 143. It's a very long ayah. Stop at the place that I quote. Likewise, we have made you Muslims a balanced nation for you to be a witness over mankind, while he, the messenger Muhammad, will be a witness over you. You are in the middle between the Jews and the Christians. How are you balanced? You are in the middle between the Jews and the Christians. The Jews claim Jesus was a bastard child and his mother was a harlot. And he is in hell burning with hot human excrement. That is the ideology of the Jews. Jesus was a bastard and his mother Mary was a harlot. Can somebody bring me the link of Jews having a concert on YouTube singing Jesus was a bastard? I could have quickly find that link. So the Jews reject Jesus. Where is the note? The Jews claim Jesus was a bastard child and Mary, the mother, was a harlot. Right. And Jesus is now in hell. And Jesus is now in hell. That's the Jewish ideology about Jesus. The Christians believe that Jesus is God. That they are on the opposite side of the spectrum. They are on the opposite side of the spectrum. The Christians believe Jesus is God. You are a Muslim. You don't reject Jesus, nor do you worship Jesus. You accept him as a noble prophet and messenger. Because you're a Muslim, you don't reject Jesus like the Jews do. Neither do you worship Jesus like the Christians do. You accept him as a noble prophet and messenger because you are what? The balanced nation. Ummatan wasatan. Where is the link I asked you for about Jews singing on YouTube, Jesus was a bastard child, at a concert that they held? We don't reject Jesus, nor worship Jesus. We accept him as a new messenger. Okay, thank you. You are in the middle between the spiritualist and the materialist. The spiritualist, he spends all his time in the masjid, praying and making dhikr and reading the Quran, and he doesn't work and feed his family. He doesn't work and feed his family. This man is a spiritualist. The materialist, he spends all his time in his shop making money, and he misses his five daily prayers, and he misses Salatul Jumu'ah. He is on the opposite side of the spectrum. The first man is a spiritualist. He spends all his time in the masjid, reading the Quran, praying five times a day. When Omar saw such a man, Omar said to the man, "Who feeds you and your wife and children?" He said, "My rich brother feeds me and my wife and children." Omar said, "Get out of the masjid. Manna and quail doesn't fall from the sky anymore." That was for Bani Israel. In some hadiths, Omar kicked him and said, "Leave the masjid, go and work. Because manna and quail doesn't fall from the sky anymore." This man was a deadbeat. He was a deadbeat. And he claimed, "My rich brother feeds me and my wife and children." When I was living in the UK, the deadbeats I met there, all of them want to have four wives. Every deadbeat I met in the UK, they all want to have four wives, and they don't have a job. And if they want a bottle of Pepsi, they have to ask their wives for the money to buy the Pepsi. Yet they want to have four wives. Every deadbeat I met in London when I was living there, they all want to have four wives. So the spiritualist, he spent all his time with religion, but Allah doesn't want that lifestyle for you. Didn't Allah say go and have fun? Didn't Allah say don't forget to have fun? If I say to you, where in the Quran Allah said go and have fun, don't forget the dunya, can you tell me the ayah? If you meet a spiritualist who turn his back on the dunya, do you know where in the Quran Allah said go and have fun? Or the ayah, surah 28 verse 77. Allah said, "Wala tansa nasibaka min ad-dunya." Don't forget your portion of halal enjoyment from the dunya. Seek the hereafter with the wealth Allah bestow upon you, and don't use the wealth to spread mischief on earth. And don't forget your portion of halal enjoyment of the dunya. So even Allah is telling you to go and have fun. Yet you want us to turn our back on the dunya. I'm sorry, it's not going to work. Then the other man is the materialist. One is a spiritualist, one is a materialist, who spend all his time making money and forget to pray and forget to do a Jumu'ah. Because you're a Muslim, you are not a spiritualist or a materialist. You are in the middle between these two extremes. Because you are a balanced nation. You are in the middle between the Murji and the Khawarij. The Murji, he will say to you, I don't need to pray and I need to go to Hajj. As long as I recite my Shahada, I'm good to go. I'm a Muslim. Even though I haven't prayed in 10 years, I'm a Muslim. Why? Because I recite my Shahada. As long as I recite my Shahada, I'm good to go. That is the Murji. He's a non-practicing Muslim. And he says, Islam is in my heart. I don't need to practice. That is a Murji. Let me remind everybody in this room, the word or the expression, a non-practicing Muslim, is an oxymoron. An oxymoron the shaitan uses to make you feel comfortable in your apostasy. The shaitan used the word non-practicing Muslim to feel comfortable in your ecstasy. The other person is the Khawarij. He is on the opposite side of the spectrum. His ideology is, if you sin, you're a kafir. He makes takfir on Muslims for their sins. Even though no sin can eject you outside the fold of Islam, unless the sin is classified as major kufr. No sin can eject you outside the fold of Islam unless the sin is major kufr. So where did the Khawarij go astray? That's the question. Where did the Khawarij go astray? The answer is, he paints every kufr with the same brush. He paints every kufr with the same brush, and he says, kufr is kufr. He did not fine-tune his aqidah. If you don't fine-tune, if you have a car and you don't fine-tune your car, your mechanic will tell you your car doesn't sound proper. Your car engine doesn't sound like a car engine. It sounds like a lawnmower that cuts the grass. That's not a car engine. Your car engine sounds like a lawnmower that people use to cut their grass. Likewise, when you don't fine-tune your aqidah, I will tell you, you don't sound like a real Muslim. You sound like a Khawarij. You sound like a Murji. You sound like a Saudi Salafi who says, forget about the rulers, forget about the Sharia. Think about yourself. When you dismantle the Sharia, it's a minor kufr. And when you spy for the CIA, the FBI, it's a job. Spying is halal because you're helping the kuffar to catch the Khawarij. If you don't fine-tune your tawheed, when you speak crap. You speak rubbish. You speak kufr, shirk, and zandaka. So it is incumbent upon you to fine-tune your aqidah. We are not Murji who says to the Muslims, you don't need to pray to be a Muslim. Just recite the Shahada and you're good to go. All you need is to recite the Shahada and you're good to go. You know, you don't have to pray to be a Muslim. That's the Murji. We are not Khawarij who claim if you commit one sin, you're a kafir and your destiny is the hellfire. Every sin is kufr, so you're a kafir. We are Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We are in the middle between these two extremities. We say to the sinners, you are still a Muslim because your sin is not major kufr. What do we say to the sinners? You are still a Muslim. You are still a Muslim because your sin is not major kufr. And on the day of judgment, Allah can forgive you and send you to paradise. Or Allah can put you in hell for some time, punish you with hell for some time, then transfer you to paradise with the intercession of Muhammad. This is our belief about the sinners. Anything other than that is not Islamic monotheism. Anything other than that is either kufr, shirk, or zandaka. We believe in intercession. So the person in hell will be transferred to paradise. And the reason why we have this belief is because of Nisa 48. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرْ إِنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرْ مَا دُونَ ذَلَكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. Allah doesn't forgive shirk, but Allah will forgive anything else to whom He please. So if you come to Allah with your sins reaching the sky, as long as you do not commit shirk, Allah will grant you forgiveness and Allah doesn't mind. You are in the middle between the Jabriya and the Qadariya. The hadith, Allah, if you come to Allah with your sins reaching the sky, as long as you did not commit shirk, Allah will grant you forgiveness. And Allah said, I do not mind. Wala ubali. Yeah, that's the hadith. O son of Adam, if you come to me with your sins reaching the sky, as long as you did not commit shirk, I will forgive you for your sin and I do not mind. It's because of this hadith, it is impossible for us to be Khawarij. The Khawarij, he wants to take away your hope. That is his mission. He wants to take away your hope. How can we lose hope when Allah said in this hadith Qudsi, O children of Adam, if you come to me with your sins reaching the sky, as long as you did not commit shirk, I will grant you forgiveness and I do not mind. So the Khawarij, he's too unforgiven and the Murji is too forgiven. Do you follow? The Khawarij is too unforgiven and the Murji is too forgiven. Because the Murji says to you, you can have as many girlfriends as possible, even 10 girlfriends. You can smoke weed. You can drink alcohol. You can go to nightclubs. Because you recite the Shahada, it is farred on Allah to give you the paradise. That is the Murji. You can have 10 girlfriends. You can smoke weed. You can drink alcohol. You can even take crack if you want. Because you recite the Shahada, it is hard on Allah to give you paradise. Because the Shahada is the key to paradise. That is the creed of the Murji. As long as you recite the Shahada, you are good to go. So the Murji is too forgiving. The Khawarij is too unforgiving. Both groups are extreme. And you are in the middle between these two extremities because you are Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah. So you say to the sinner, you are not a kafir for your zina and your khamr, because these sins are not major kufr. So we see you as our Muslim brother in the dunya. However, in the hereafter, you are underneath Allah's mercy. If Allah wants, He can forgive you and send you to paradise. And if Allah wants, He can put you in hellfire for some time for your sins, and then He will transfer you into the paradise with the intercession of Muhammad. This is our aqidah in regards to sinners. And anything other than this aqidah is either kufr, shirk, or zandaka. This is the only legitimate aqidah in regards to the sinners. Transfer to paradise with intercession of Muhammad. With the intercession of Muhammad. The other group, we are in the middle between the Jabriyyah and the Qadariyyah. We are in the middle between the Jabriyyah and the Qadariyyah. Because we are the balanced nation. Why do we call them Qadariyyah? We call them Qadariyyah because they deny Qadr. Who are the Qadariyyah? People who deny Qadr. We call them Qadariyyah because they deny Qadr. Qadr is destiny. It's Qadr. If I should have an affair, don't blame me. It's Qadr. What I did was Qadr. They use Qadr to justify their sins. That's Qadariyyah. The Qadariyyah deny Qadr, but the Jabriyyah, he blames Qadr for his sins. The word Jabr means forced. I was forced to do the haram because Allah wrote it down that I was going to do the haram. So if when I cheat on my wife, don't blame me. I was forced to have an affair because it was predestined for me to have an affair. This is the ideology of the Jabriyyah. Everything is Qadr, is Qadr, is Qadr. When Omar was the caliph, a man stole. Omar asked him, why did you steal? What did he say to Omar? I stole because it's Qadr Allah. He blamed Qadr. Omar said, well, it's also Qadr Allah that we are going to chop off your hand. And Omar said, give him 30 lashes. Then chop off his hand. The people said, Omar, why did you add to the punishment? Omar said, because he lied on Allah. He blamed Allah for his theft. Do you follow? How many of you in this room knew that the kafirs of Mecca, they blame Qadr for worshipping the idols of the Kaaba? How many of you knew that? Allah said in Surah 6, 148, سيقول الذين أشركوا لو شاء الله ما أشركنا ولا آباؤنا. Okay, you can stop at our fathers. Stop at our fathers. Surah 6, 148. Those who are pagans, the pagans of Mecca, they are going to say to you, O Muhammad, if it was Allah's will, we would never worship the 360 idols that we are worshiping. We worship Lat, Uzza, Hubal, and the other idols because it is Qadr Allah for us to worship these idols. It's Qadr. Do you see what evil kafirs are? So you think it's only today people use Qadr to justify their haram. Oh, it's Qadr. What I did is Qadr. Even in the time of the Prophet, Allah said, Sayaqul aladina ashaku. Those who are pagans, those pagans of Mecca, they are going to say to you, we worship the idols because it is Qadr Allah. The other extreme is the Qadriya. He denies Qadr. He said Allah didn't predestine anything. Do you remember when the Prophet was in Medina, in the masjid, the angel Gabriel came to him and said, what is Islam? He said, Shahada, Salah, Zakah, Sawm, Hajj. And the angel said, what is Iman? And the Prophet said, to believe in Allah, his angels, his books, to believe in his prophets and messengers, to believe in the day of judgment, and to believe in Qadr, the good and the bad of Qadr. So if the Prophet told the angel Gabriel that the pillars of Iman are six, to believe in Allah, his angels, his books, to believe in his prophets and messengers, to believe in the day of judgment, and to believe in Qadr, how can you deny Qadr and say Allah doesn't predestine anything? You deny Qadr, so you're a kafir because you deny one of the six pillars of Iman. When Ibn Abbas was at Zamzam drawing water, somebody came to him and said, I met people who deny Qadr. Ibn Abbas said, take me to them to dig out their eyes. Take me to them so that I can cut off their nose. When they die, don't pray janazah over them and don't bury them in the graveyard of the Muslims. Ibn Abbas said, what? Take me to them to dig out their eyes. Take me to them so I can cut off their nose. When they die, don't pray over them and don't bury them in the graveyard of the Muslims. Okay, I'll find the hadith. Ibn Abbas said, take me to them to dig out their eyes. Take me to them, I can cut off their nose. When they die, don't pray over them. Don't bury them in the graveyard of the Muslims. Why? Because they deny Qadr. You have it? It's on the notes. Look on your Skype. Yeah, that's it. Where's the Tahrij? The Tahrij, I think, is Tirmidhi. We are in the middle between the monk and the gigolo. Yeah, that's it. Finish posting. Ibn Abbas said, take me to them, these people who deny Qadr, to dig out their eyes, to cut off their nose. When you deny Qadr, which is one of the six pillars of Iman, you are no longer inside the fold of Islam. This is why Ibn Baz said, take me to them to pluck out their eyes. with my fingers. Because we are the balanced nation, we are in the middle between the monk and the gigolo. The monk, he abstains from marriage, he abstains from women. The gigolo, he wants to go to bed with every woman he sees. We are in the middle between the monk and the gigolo. Allah Ta'ala spoke about the monks in Surah 57, verse 27. Allah Ta'ala spoke about the monks in Surah 57, verse 27. Allah said, but the monasticism, you start from here, but the monasticism, which they invented for themselves, we did not prescribe this for them, but they sought it only to please Allah, but they did not observe it with right observance. Yeah, you can stop at the word observance. Okay, that's good enough. So these Catholic priests who abstain from women and become pedophiles and homosexuals, that is extremism. Allah said, "Ma katabnaha alayhim." What did Allah say? I didn't tell anybody to stay away from sex. Then Allah said, "Ibtada'uha." What they are practicing is nothing but a bid'ah. Allah used the word bid'ah. So what's the point? You abstain from nikah, marriage, only to become a homosexual and a pedophile. Three days ago, a priest was fired from the Catholic Church because he came out as a gay. He came out, so they fired him. So we are in the middle between the monk and the gigolo. The monk, he abstains from nikah, he abstains from women, he abstains from sex. While the gigolo, he wants to go to bed with every woman he sees between the age of 16 to 60. Because you are a Muslim, you are in the middle between these two extremes, because the Prophet said, and nikah min sunnati, faman raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. Nikah is my sunnah, and anyone who abstains from my sunnah to get married to woman, such a person is not a follower of me. I said 16, not 6. What is the other characteristic? Find the hadith, marriage is my sunnah. And anybody who abstains from my sunnah to get married, he is not of me. The Prophet said, I marry women, atazawaj and nisa. And there is no such thing called a marriage between two males or a marriage between two females. The word gay marriage is an oxymoron. And stay away from oxymorons. One of the characteristics of a hypocrite, he speaks with oxymorons. Marriage is my sunnah. I marry women, and anyone who abstains from getting married to women, he is not a follower of me. Gay marriage is an oxymoron, because a marriage is between a man and a woman. Stay away from oxymorons, because one of the signs of a munafiq, he speaks with oxymorons. Yeah, that's all I need. I marry women. And anybody who doesn't get married to women is not of me. That's all I need. It's a long hadith, and that's all I need from the hadith. The fourth characteristic of the believers is that they are soft towards the four characteristics. They are soft towards the believers and harsh with the kuffar. Surah 48, verse 29. The believers are soft towards the believers and harsh towards the kuffar. Surah 48, verse 29. Muhammadun Rasulullah. Muhammad is a messenger of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءَ الْكُفَارِ And those who are with him are harsh towards the kuffar. رُحَمَا بَيْنَهُمْ And they are gentle, merciful towards each other. تَرَهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا You see them making rakah, making sajda, seeking Allah's merits, Allah's bounties, and His pleasure. See مَهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِمْ Their mark is in their forehead. Because of their regular sajda. You can even see the spot in their forehead because of their regular sajda. The fifth characteristic of the believers is They worship Allah with love, fear, and hope. This is the fifth characteristic of you, the Muslim. You worship Allah with a combination of love, fear, and hope. If a person worships Allah with love alone, he's a Sufi. If a person worships Allah with fear alone, he's a Khawarij. If he worships Allah with love alone, he's a Khawarij. Fear alone, Khawarij. If he worships Allah with hope alone, he's a Murji. A Sufi will tell you to your face, I don't fear Allah, I love Allah. And a Sufi is very, very sinful. He'll tell it to your face, I don't fear Allah, I love Allah. Because you are a balanced nation, you worship Allah with a combination, love for Allah, fear for Allah, and the hope to enter the paradise of Allah. You worship Allah with a combination of love, fear, and hope because you are the balanced nation. The sixth characteristic is you are a muwahid. Muwahid. Yes, 2H, Muwahid. And the evidence to prove that, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'een. So, Baqarah verse 4. Surah Fatiha verse 4. Fatiha 4, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'een. Fatiha 5. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. So, when you make that declaration, in Fatiha 5, you are saying, I am a muwahid, I am not of the mushrikeen. And you follow Millat Ibrahim. What do you practice? Millat Ibrahim. And what did Allah say? Ma kana Ibrahim. Bring me the ayah. Ma kana Ibrahim Yahudiyan, wala Nasraniyan, walakin kana Hanifan Musliman, wa ma kana min al Mushrikeen. Surah 3, verse 67. You practice Millat Ibrahim. Surah 3, verse 67. ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ Abraham was neither a Jew nor a Christian, but he was an upright Muslim, and he was not of the Mushrikeen. And what do you practice? Millat Ibrahim. So what is the other characteristic of this Ummah? Because our topic today is who are you? Characteristic number seven is you are infallible as an Ummah. You are infallible as an Ummah. So the hadith says, my ummah will never agree upon an error. So when a scholar passes a dodgy fatwa, other scholars will refute him with Quran and Sunnah. The ummah will not agree with his dodgy fatwa. My ummah will never agree upon an error, because you are infallible as an ummah. That is the seventh characteristic of this Ummah. So if a wicked scholar pass a dodgy fatwa somewhere in the world, the other scholars will refute him, because you are infallible as an Ummah. Because the Prophet said, my Ummah will never unite upon an error. So don't think you can deceive the Muslims with your dodgy fatwa and think everyone will agree with you without asking questions and follow you like a lamb to the slaughter. It will never happen, because this Ummah is ma'soom, infallible, meaning we will never unite upon an error. And I think you know this. Our topic is who are you? So what is the eighth characteristic of this Ummah? You are a shy Ummah. You have shyness, you have bashfulness. So the Rasul said, Iman is consisted of 60 unadd branches. The highest branch is to say La ilaha illallah. The lowest branch is to remove a harmful thing from the road, and for you to feel shy is a branch of Iman. So if you say to a Muslim girl, you are shy, she will say to you, shyness is a branch of Iman. Every Muslim girl will say that to you. The Prophet said in a famous hadith, every ummah has a characteristic. And the characteristic of my ummah is shyness. Surah 23, 1 to 8, find us. Surah 23, Surah Mu'minun. Give me 1 to 11. Because this surah gives you a lot of characteristics of this ummah. Surah 23, 1 to 11. قد أفلح المؤمنون successful indeed are the believers الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. Please continue to post the ayahs 1-11. So what is the other characteristic of this ummah? Number 9, you are humble in your prayers. You practice khushu in your prayers. So when you are praying, you don't fidget in your salah and look all over the place. Abu Hanifa said, if you are praying and you move 3 times, your salah is batil. 3 times in one position. You are humble in your prayers. The 9th characteristic of this ummah, you are humble in your prayers. It's okay, you can post it. The other characteristic of the believers, number 10, is you abstain from idle speech, rubbish talk, empty talk. The British call it bollocks. The Americans call it bull something. You abstain from rubbish talk, you abstain from empty talk. That is a 10th characteristic. Number 10, you abstain from idle speech. The Americans call it bull something. The British, they call it bollocks. You're talking bollocks. Get out of my face. You are crazy. You're talking bollocks. Give me a break. Go kick rocks. Kick rocks means get lost. Go kick rocks. Your speech is rubbish speech. Like those who say, Holy Mary, Mother of God. God came from the belly of a woman. Holy Mary, Mother of God. Is there anybody who believes that? God came from the belly of a woman? That's bollocks. That's what the Christians preach. No wonder I left the church when I was 16. That doesn't make sense. So what is the 11th characteristic of the believers? According to the ayahs I posted. وَالَذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّهُ مُؤْرِدُونَ وَالَذِينَ هُمْ لِزَكَاتِ فَعَلُونَ. They pay the zakah. Number 11, they pay the zakah. Number 12, they protect their private parts from zina. In the year 2008, I was in South Africa. A doctor told me every day 1,000 South Africans die from AIDS. Every day. Your private parts are very, very dangerous. They can kill you. The prophet said, if you protect your tongue and your private parts, I guarantee for you the paradise. I'm sure you know the hadith. It's a famous hadith. If you can control your tongue and your private parts, I guarantee for you the paradise. Number 13. You protect your amana. You have amana. You protect your amana. And your promises. You protect your amana and your promises. You are shepherds of your pledges and promises. Number 13. That is the 13th characteristic of the believer. You safeguard your promises and pledges. Because Allah said, والذين هم لأماناتهم وأهدهم راعون. The believers, number 13, they are shepherds of their promises and pledges. When a believer gives you his word is his word. No, not pleasures. No, I said pleasures. No pleasures. Promises and pledges. This means when a believer gives you his word is his word. If he says, I am going to come to you 6 p.m., he doesn't come 8 p.m. His word is his word. The Prophet said in a famous hadith, there is no deen for the man who has no amana. If he borrows your £1,000, he will give back your money. If he borrows your $2,000, he will give it back to you. There is no faith for the one who has no amana. And there is no religion for the one who doesn't keep his promises. That is the believer. If he gives you his word is his word. The Prophet said, any man who gets married to a girl and did not give the dowry is committing fornication. And any man who borrows money and didn't pay it back is a thief. That is the 13th characteristic of the believer. Our topic today is, who are you? You are a believer. You're a Muslim. So when you give somebody your word is your word. Stay away from people who keep breaking their promises, because the hadith is clear. The signs of a munafiq are 4. When he speaks, he lies. When he makes a promise, he breaks it. When he is entrusted, he has no amana. He can't keep his promises. And when he debates, he slanders. So what is the 14th characteristic of the believer? He keeps up the 5-day prayers. Because of the hadith, the first thing Allah will ask you about on the day of judgment is the salah. The very first thing Allah shall question you about on the day of recompense is the salah. Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. The Prophet said, the difference between a Muslim and a kafir is the salah. Between a man and kufr and shirk is the salah. We, the companions of Muhammad, didn't consider the abandonment of anything as kufr except the salah. One day, Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Imam Shafi held a debate. Imam Shafi said, if you don't pray, you're still a Muslim. Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, if you don't pray, you're a kafir. Who won the debate? Ahmad ibn Hanbal. What ayah did he use to checkmate Imam Shafi? Tawbah 11. That ayah was used to checkmate Imam Shafi. Tawbah 11. Because some people were taking shahada, and the sahaba said, what if their shahada is fake? How can we tell the shahada is real? What if it's fake? When the sahaba said to the Prophet, what if their shahada is fake? Allah revealed Tawbah 11. So Allah said, فَإِنْ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانَكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. If they make Tawbah from their kufr and shirk, establish the 5-day prayers and pay the zakah, then they become your brothers in deen. Allah put down 3 conditions to accept a revert into Islam as a real Muslim. Tawbah from his kufr and shirk. The 5-day prayers and the zakah. Then they become your brothers in deen. I will stop here for today. I will take 3 questions. I'm not finished, but I will stop here on Saturday. By Allah's permission, we will continue. and finish the Da'as.
Any person there?
Yeah. Bismillah, Sheikh, conspiracy theories of 9/11 credible? Did Al-Qaeda ever claim responsibility for the attacks? And how much attention should we give these theories, such as Illuminati's? Some conspiracy theories are rubbish. And some conspiracy theories are true. As for the conspiracy theory, Tupac Shakur is still alive, that's rubbish. That doesn't make sense. As for the conspiracy theory, man did not go to the moon, that's correct. Man did not go to the moon. So some conspiracy theories are credible, some are not credible. As for 9/11, till today, we know no plane hit the Pentagon. A cruise missile hit the Pentagon. No plane. 9/11 was an inside job carried out by the neoconservatives to start a war to steal Muslim oil. What hit the Pentagon? A cruise missile hit the Pentagon, no plane. 9/11 was an inside job carried out by the neocons to start a war to steal Muslim oil. They plot and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. They went to steal oil to invade Iraq, but they did not see ISIS coming. Why they could not see ISIS coming? Because they plot and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. There has been a lot of happening in Al-Aqsa, and I would like to know what the Jews are planning there. I heard something like they want to tear it down. They would like to build a tunnel underneath Masjid Al-Aqsa for Masjid Al-Aqsa to collapse, to build in its place a temple to receive the Dajjal, because the Dajjal is a king of the Jews, and the Dajjal is a Jew himself. So they like to build a tunnel underneath Masjid Al-Aqsa for it to collapse, to build in its place a temple to receive their king, the Dajjal. Occupied Palestine will always have violence. There's nothing we can do about it. The hatred in the hearts of Muslims for Jews is a holy hatred, and it is never ending, because they slander the prophets, they slander Allah, and they kill the prophets, and they reject the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because they are killing the Muslims of Palestine. The Jews are killing the Muslims in Palestine. So the hatred will never go away because they are killing our brothers and sisters in Palestine. They want us to hate Hitler because Hitler killed Jews. But today Jews are killing Muslims in occupied Palestine. Do you follow? The Jews would like us to hate Hitler because they are killing, because Hitler killed Jews. But today the Jews are killing our Muslim brothers and sisters in occupied Palestine. They firebombed the home of a Palestinian and killed a toddler, an 18-month-old baby. And then they praised the death in the Jewish Knesset and said, these Palestinian babies are snakes, so we have to kill them. They praised the death of the baby in their Jewish parliament, the Knesset. I don't know why the Jews talk about Holocaust. We black people, we suffer a Holocaust. 100 million black people were dumped in the sea, in the Middle Passage. The Middle Passage is the journey between Africa, West Africa, and the Americas. It's called the Middle Passage. How many black people they dump in the sea in the Middle Passage? 100 million. Is Tahrik Taliban nationalist or is against all of there? I think they gave a bit. I don't think they're nationalists. It's a legitimate movement. Tahrik Taliban of Pakistan is not nationalist. I'm not sure about the Afghani branch, but the Pakistani branch is legitimate. $100 million black people are dumped, eh? Yeah, that's good. The Pakistani branch of Tahrik Taliban is good. I'm not sure about the Afghani one. They might be nationalists, but not the Pakistani branch. They are legitimate. The Pakistani branch is legitimate. I think I've answered all three questions. The Muslims of Palestine are Shafi Madhab. If you belong to a Madhab, Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi, Hanbali, it's impossible to become a Shia, because these four madhabs preserve you, preserve your fiqh and preserve your aqidah. This is why it's important to follow a madhab. It preserves you from becoming a Shia or a Qadiani or any other rubbish that you have out there. The Muslims of Palestine are Shafi, so they are Sunni. They are not. Imam Shafi himself was born in Palestine. Imam Shafi himself was Palestinian. So the Palestinians, they're Shafi, they're not Shiite. The Shiites come to their defense with rockets, yes, and cash. And this is something which the Muslims find difficult to reconcile, because the Sunnis did not help the Palestinians, the Shiites are helping the Palestinians, so many Muslims are confused because of this. The only way the Palestinians can get legitimate help is from the Caliphate. legitimate help. They can only receive legitimate help from the caliphate, the new caliphate. Because the other countries, Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, they won't help. Why? Because they are called apostate regimes. They are nothing but apostate regimes, so they won't help. The only people who will help the Palestinians with legitimate Islamic help is the Islamic Caliphate. I'm going to take this as the last question because I'm not feeling too well. Thank you for coming. I'd like to thank Authentoid19 for the notes and Authentoid6 for posting Hujja. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I will now yield the mic.